just about 10 o'clock time for our Bible class, as always we're so very thankful for an opportunity that God has blessed us with to be able to assemble together in a fashion like this and study the Word of God. Appreciate the presence of each and every one of you. Especially, you've noticed that you've been anticipating, the members here at Mill Street have, that today begins our preacher training program. We appreciate the good number of guys that have signed up from several different states and made preparation, arrangements, and sacrifice to come and to be with us this week as we really focus, some good intense focus on putting together sermons and learning to be gospel preachers. Appreciate you being here.
Or teachers,
whatever the case may be. I really don't need an introduction, but I'm going to give him one, though he already told me to cut the fat. Our brother Johnny Edwards is with us. We thank so much that Johnny does such a good job. Good friend of mine. Appreciate him and Loretta. Look forward to listening to him. Take good notes. Thank you.
Sure nice to see you, and I'm glad to be with you. We're going to take a journey. We're going to go back about 2,000 years. It's Pentecost Day. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. I want you to picture yourself as being present in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. Can you imagine that? Got a bunch of people coming in. Okay. As you picture yourself present in Acts chapter 2, I'm going to ask you some questions. First question, would you have known that Pentecost was just a day and not a church? That's a good point, because there are people in the Pentecostal churches that think they get their name from Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And so he's not talking about church, he's talking about a day. How do you know that? Well, the text says in Acts 2 verse 1, when the day, D-A-Y, of Pentecost was fully come. The word Pentecost is found three times in the New Testament. Acts 2:1, Acts 20, verse 16, and 1 Corinthians 16:8. Let me ask a question now. Is the word Pentecost found in the Old Testament? Yes or no? Brother Brown.
I'm going to say yes.
Is he correct?
I'm going to say no.
Huh?
I'm going to say no.
The answer is no. It's not found in the Old Testament. Other words are, where would you go about to think about finding out about that? Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verse 16. Three times in a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. And here are the three feasts. Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, and Feast of Tabernacles. Which one of those refers to Pentecost, Brother Barnes?
The Feast of Weeks.
Feast of Weeks. That's the day of Pentecost, by the way. And there was a Jewish harvest homecoming in their day. And so, had you been there, would you have known that this was just a feast day and not a church? That's important to know. When you talk to your Pentecostal friends, that's a good point to make with them. You think that might be so? Huh? Brother Barnes?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We got two barns here?
Yes, sir.
Where's the other barn?
Right here.
Where? Oh, there you are. We're back there. Yes. Okay. You like that point, Randy?
It's a good one.
Good one. Number two. Had you been present on this occasion, would you have known that the Holy Spirit fell only on the apostles? Why is that important? That's important because in Acts chapter 1, he talks about in verse 15, the 120. And most people think and teach that the Holy Spirit fell also on the 120. It did not. Only on the apostles. It had only been promised to the apostles to guide them into all truth in John 16:13. And in John 14:26. In our teaching this week, we're going to trace, we're going to learn about this from Acts 1. We're going to trace all of that through Acts 1 into 2 to learn who the Holy Spirit fell on exactly on the day of Pentecost. Nobody else needed it on that occasion. Only the apostles. The third thing I want to ask about this situation is, have you been there on that occasion? By the way, would you have been there? That a good question? Nicholas?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
It is, isn't it? Would you have been there? Or would you have come up with some flimsy excuse? I made a list of excuses I've heard from members of the church over the years, and it's quite long. One lady, she said, I'll probably not be there next Sunday, Johnny. I said, what's the problem? She said, I'll probably have a headache. I thought within myself, maybe the Lord will bless her with the good one. I talked to a guy about coming to this teacher training, and he said, I don't think I can come. I said, why not? He said, I can't sleep in a strange bed. He said, I got to sleep in my own bed. I probably said, take up thy bed and walk. Or drive. I talked to one lady about attending services that are more faithful. She said, I can't do it. I can't be there, Johnny. I said, why not? She said, my cat's sick. You know what a good answer for that is? They do have nine lives. Right? Would you make some kind of flimsy excuse for not traveling to Jerusalem to worship?
Brother Johnny?
Yes, sir, Brother Brian.
I'm going to think outside the box here a minute. But
what does that mean?
Being Gentiles here, would we weren't be required to be there as the Jews were.
I understand that. I'm just using this as a situation that okay. If you'd been a Jew on Pentecost, okay. Thank you very much. You see what happened? Somebody said it's too far to go to Jerusalem. Remember that? So let's set up two cities. What was the name of those cities? Dan and Bethel. And that's contrary to God's law because he chose the city of Jerusalem and placed his name there, right? If God says go to Jerusalem, where had you better go, Jared?
Jerusalem.
Good. Have you learned that, by the way? If God says you need to go there, you need to get to going, right? Would you have been there? Had you been? Let me rephrase that, Brother Brown, before you won't have any problem with that. That had you been refused.
I did not.
Is that fair enough? That's fair enough?
Yes, sir.
Good. Number four. Had you been a Jew on Pentecost, and would you have known that tongue speaking was just a language? We have people today who think they can speak in tongues. When we were in the Philippines doing this kind of work, Johnny Paul and John Isaac and I, a fellow named Brother Gumpad, Rody Gumpad. Anybody know, heard of Rody? Vaughn was our translator there, weren't you? Vaughn Canella from South America. And he used to be a Pentecostal preacher. And I asked this question when I was talking about tongue speaking. I said, Rody, come up here and show us how it goes. And he just ran right along just like that. We didn't understand a word he's saying, of course. And I said, Rody, tell these people the truth. Did you really speak in tongues? You know what he told us? It was all fake. Fake. Like fake news, I guess. There is nobody today living on this earth that can speak in a tongue like they did in the Bible days. It's a language. Now, why do these apostles have to speak in tongues? Because these people assembled from all of the Jewish nations. And they spoke different languages. How'd that work? Somebody said one time, well, the apostle Peter did all the speaking in Acts 2. Is that correct?
No.
No, sir. How do you know that?
Because he said he stood among the other 11.
Stood up with the 11. And another passage that helps you as well is they heard who? Heard who?
Them.
Them who?
Them what?
Them apart. Faith. These people spoke different languages. In Acts 2, he says they spoke in the language of the tongue of the people present. Now, some people say Peter did all the speaking, so he just rattled out a language. And here's a fellow from Cappadocia, of Pompeia, and the fellow hit him. Is that what happened? That's not what happened. They spoke in the languages of the people present. They heard them speak in their own tongue, and wherein they were. You need to remember that. But had you been a Jew on Pentecost, would you have known that? Acts chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. Number 5. Had you been present on Pentecost as a Jew, would you have known that prophecy was being fulfilled? How many prophets do you think are fulfilled in Acts chapter 2? Who knows offhand? Some of you students ought to know that. How many? Pick up. Randy, you know, don't you?
I doubt it. I'll say it.
I doubt it. I doubt it too. No, go ahead. I just planned it.
Three.
Huh?
Three.
How about two? Oh, you're okay then.
Well, Joel 2, 28 to 29.
Okay, number two. Isaiah.
Isaiah 65, 1 and 2.
No,
65, 2.
Go ahead, you go ahead.
Explain. That's all. It's just two. Because you didn't let the cat out of the bag. So I didn't have to.
Yes, sir.
Well, the prophecy that Jesus says, he says, go to Jerusalem and tarry there until you be endued from power on high. You could say that's a prophecy about what they were about to get when the Holy Spirit laid down on them. And you've got Joel, and you've also got when Jesus says, I will build my church in Matthew 16, 18. That's also a prophecy, and so that was also fulfilled on this day. So there's, depending on how you look at it, from whether it's Old Testament scriptures that were stated or if it's actually sayings of Jesus that he foretells, or he tells them to go do something, and what he tells them to do actually happens. That could be considered.
There may be some difference. I'll let Donnie clarify that. In a promise and a prophecy. Is it? Like Jesus, I'll build my church. We'll talk about that. You can think about that. There are two major prophecies in Acts 2. What's the value of a knowing prophecy and their fulfillment? Nathan. What's the value of knowing a prophecy and their fulfillment? You know?
Credibility.
What?
Credibility.
Credibility of what?
That it's true. The truth is that
it has to appreciate that the Bible's inspired, doesn't it?
Correct, yes.
Good idea. The apostles were accused of being drunk. Why that accusation? Because they spoke in these languages that they had gone to school to learn, right? Is that right?
Holy Spirit gave it.
No, they had not. They were given that, weren't they, Brother Brown, by the Lord.
By the Holy Spirit from the Lord.
Yeah. Guys today who claim to speak in tongues either have to learn the language or use who? One. One. An interpreter. You know anything about interpreting?
Yeah.
Juan was our interpreter when we were in the Philippines and in Chile, by the way. Where am I, Don? What am I talking about?
You just finished prophecy was being fulfilled.
Okay.
Value of knowing.
Yeah, it helps you appreciate the fact that the Bible is of God. When you read a prophecy and see it fulfilled at the right time, at the right place, in the exact words, you can rely on the fact that this is what? The Word of God. I think that's a good point to remember, don't you? Concerning prophecy. The second, he said, we're not drunk. So, what time of the day was that?
9:00.
9:00 in the morning. As if to say it's too early to be drunk. What time was it? The third hour of the day. That's 9:00 in the morning. Most people are not drunk that early. Although I had a friend who was drunk all the time. He's always drunk. 9:00, I wonder. He senses quick. But how did the Apostle Peter answer this argument? He appealed, as somebody already said, to who? Joel? Was it Joel?
Scripture.
Joel where? To who? Who knows? How many guys?
28 to 32.
Yeah. And what's that about? Do you remember what that's about, sir?
How it says that in the last days these things will happen. That they will prophesy, they will speak in tongues, and so
yeah. Joel talks about what's going on in Acts 2 is as prophesied. He's talking about the last days. Are we living in the last days now?
Yes. Last dispensation.
Oh, yeah, my question was, are we living in the last days?
We are. Yes.
Yes, sir.
When did they start? Right here. Next. And how long are they going to go?
Till God says enough.
In the world. I heard a guy on the radio talking. He said we're living in the last days as if they just started last Thursday. People have no idea what that's about sometimes. It's a period of time from the cross to the end of the world. Would you have known that had you been present on that occasion? But it's the beginning of the last days. By the way, had you been a Jew present, what time I quit?
2:35.
Would you have recognized that there's something you have to do? I heard a preacher say, remember the Church of Christ, by the way, there's nothing a man can do to save himself. Do you believe that? Anybody here believe that? I hope you don't. Nothing you can do to save yourself. Anybody think that's true or not?
No, it's not true.
How would you answer that? Who wants to give me a good, quick Bible answer? I'll give it for you. Acts 2:41, when on Pentecost, the sermon was preached, and with many other words, he exhorted and testified, saying, do what?
Save yourselves.
Save who?
Yourself.
Yourself. Acts 2:40, that is. Is there another one?
John chapter 6, Jesus asked Jesus a question. He says, what work of God should we do that we may inherit eternal life? And he said, believe on him who he has sent.
Okay. And so the second one, the second one I want to bring you to it is 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine, continuing them, and by doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and then the hearer. That's 1 Timothy 4:16 if you're taking a note, and you must do that. How did these people on Pentecost save themselves? Anybody want to tackle that, Ethan? By doing what the Lord said to do. That's how you save yourself. Not that you save yourself by pulling up your own bootstraps, but by doing what the Lord said. Would you have known, had you been present and a Jew on Pentecost, that there was something you had to do? Next. Luke 6:46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, but he that, what's the next word? Come on.
Doeth
the will of the Father in heaven. Revelation 22:14. Blessed is he that
doeth
my commandments. All those passages are important. By the way, had you been present as a Jew on Pentecost, how would you responded to that? And how would you respond to the answer giver? What must we do? They were told that there's nothing you can do. You're already saved. God's already predestined. And you don't have any choice in the matter, really, do you? God decides that for you. There's nothing for you to do anyway. That's not what happened. How did they respond to the answer?
Those that gladly received.
That word gladly is important. They that gladly received his word were baptized. Is that verse 41?
41.
Huh? What is it?
Yes,
that's 241.
The kicker. To see people obey the gospel and be baptized is to get them to gladly receive the word. Unless they do, I'll tell you what, they will never obey the gospel. And one of our jobs as a preacher or Bible class teacher is to lead people to the point of them gladly receiving the word. And if you get that done, you got something going. That'd be a good goal for all of us as teachers and preachers. To get people to the point where they gladly receive the word. Or if you don't, they're not going to obey the gospel. I guarantee you. You agree with that? But again, how would you respond to it? What were these people told to do?
They be baptized.
Every one of you.
Not just somebody, right?
Oh,
by the way, were any women present on this occasion? Or just men?
Only the men were required to attend, but I'm sure there were women there.
You're sure?
I'm pretty sure there were women.
Okay. Make it as sure as you can. Maybe so.
It does say
that. I don't know. I really don't know. It didn't make any difference.
It does say in Acts chapter 8, when they were scattered abroad, both men and women, whenever were
approached. Yeah, well, we're not talking about Acts 8. We're talking about Acts 2.
Yeah.
It says in the prophecy of Joel that daughters are included in that as well. It says, I'll pour out my spirit on the sons and daughters.
Yeah, okay.
That's so there might have been.
Okay. Repent. What's a good word in that passage? Is and important? What's the word and do?
Coordinate conjunction.
Nicholas? And. Repent and. It joins two things together of equal importance. Are words important?
Yes, sir.
When Peter went to Cornelius' house in Acts 11:14, this Gentile wants to hear what? Words. Words are important. Really important. The introduction to this sermon in Acts 2, men of Israel do what? Hear these words. That's a good point I want to talk to you about a little bit. Had you been present, would you recognize the value of a short introduction? I heard a guy preach not long ago and he had 15 minutes of introduction. I was ready to go home by then. Guys, you don't need a long introduction in your sermon. Hear these words and you got right in your sermon. Well, what's the purpose of an introduction anyhow? It's just to springboard you into your lesson. That's all it's for. You don't need to be very long. Right? Cut the fat out of introductions. You ever heard that phrase, cut the fat? You may hear it once in a while. I don't know. Repent and. It's a conjunction. It joins two things of equal importance. It's like a coupling pin on a boxcar. What does that thing do?
Holds everything together.
Sir?
Holds everything together.
Hooks everything together.
Makes them one.
And if one car goes that way, which way does the other one go?
The same way.
Why?
Because they're together.
They're coupled together. Good point, sir. They're Texas boys. Right?
You tell.
Huh?
We're from Etel.
Oh, that's right. Etel. Yeah. Where's the Texas for? Yeah, there you go. Okay. And what's a key word in Acts 2:38? Is it for? F-O-R?
Every.
What is baptism for in Acts 2? For remission of sins. Future or past or both?
Past.
Only?
Only.
Good. Somebody called me recently and said, our preacher said, when he baptized somebody, I'm baptizing you for all past and future sins. Would you ever say that?
No.
Why not?
It's not true.
What? What? It's only for past sins. Is there a scripture that says that? Of course, Dan, you know.
Romans 3:25.
What's Romans 3:25 say, sir?
Remission of past sins that are past.
Yeah, you need to know that scripture, guys. Give it to them again, Randy.
For sins that are past.
It's Romans what? 3?
3:25.
Okay. You need to jot that down. Baptism has nothing to do with forgiving future sins. Not a thing in the world.
Remission of sins of the past.
That's right. You need to know that passage. Romans, is it 3:25? Okay. How many of you were aware of that passage besides Randy? Let's see your hands. Not one of you? You were aware of it?
Yeah, I was just still right.
Huh?
I was still just right.
Oh, that's okay. Keep right. Members of Mill Street, did you know that? That baptism only removes past sins?
Yes, we did.
What?
Yes, we did.
Donnie probably taught you that, hadn't he? You ever speak on anything like that? Probably not. How many different plans of salvation do you think the Lord has? You said there's one. Over here, how many?
One.
Why are you doing three fingers up, Randy?
I believe there's three.
Y'all talk to him if you don't agree with him. There are three. God has three different plans for salvation. We're going to talk about that in the class, by the way. Some of you Mill Street men and women as well, who may want to come and sit in this week. That'd be great. Next. Had you been a Jew on Pentecost and present there, would you have been satisfied to be added to the church they were added to? Is the church ever called a church? Is the Church of Christ ever called a church? Yes or no?
No.
No.
It is not? What's it always called?
The church.
Why is it called the church?
It's just the only one.
One?
It's the only one.
You're getting awful narrow-minded. Only one. You're right. How did you go back proving that?
Ephesians chapter 4.
What does it say?
I'll paraphrase it. One hope of your salvation, one faith, one body, one God above all and in all.
Now, how do you prove there's just one church, though?
Well, it's faith.
Huh?
That would be the faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
No, that's not the way you do that.
Matthew 6.
There's one body. You got the right passage.
Okay.
There's one body, right? And what's the one body?
Church.
The church. How do you know that?
Ephesians 1:22 and 23.
What does it say?
That put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body.
Good. There's three scriptures you need to know right there. Ephesians 1, 22, 23. Colossians 1, 18. Colossians 1, 24. That identifies the one body as being the church. Now, back to the point. Had you been a Jew in present on Pentecost, would you have been satisfied to accept that idea that there's just one church? Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, I will build many churches, correct? Can you say that?
Yeah, I will build my church.
What does that mean?
There's only one.
He's owner of it.
Yes, sir, neither.
He's owner of it. My church means the owner. My house means I'm the owner.
Why don't you come and go with me to my church next Sunday? You ever heard that? Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that?
No, we don't church it.
It's not yours, is it?
Singular possessive.
We know what people mean when they say that. We know. Yes, sir.
It's singular possessive when he said, I will build my church.
Yeah, that's right. After these people were voted on, then they became members of the church in Acts 2. Is that correct? Am I right on that or wrong? Huh? Right or wrong? Did they vote on them?
No.
How'd they get in?
Jesus added.
The Lord said, Acts 2:47, you need to know that one as well. The Lord asked to the church, David, such as should be saved. Let me ask you this question. Does the church save? Yes or no? Nathan.
It leads to save.
No, it didn't answer
that. I don't think the church saves.
Does the church save? Yes or no?
Saves.
No.
Huh? No, they never said that. The church is the same. Right? Can you join the Church of Christ?
Yes.
Ray? Can you join the Church of Christ? Yes. Am I right or wrong on that?
By obeying the gospel, you can join the church.
No. Can I join the Church of Christ? Randy. Let me rephrase my question. Are there any circumstances where you can join the Church of Christ? Yes or no? Why?
Jesus adds you to the church.
What?
Jesus adds you to the church. You cannot.
Suppose I become a member here and I move off to Timbuktu, Kentucky. How did I become a member of that group?
Acts 9:37 said,
I joined that group.
Yeah.
Paul, a savior, joined himself.
Acts 9:26.
That's the only way you can join the church, right? The church is identified in Romans 16:16 as the churches of Christ. That are, you know, we've got a problem with some churches that just accepting any member, anybody, anywhere that comes on and say, well, I'd like to be a member here. And they say, we've already been baptized for a remission of sin, so we want to place a membership here. And there are churches that take folks in like that. Do you do that here at Mill Street? Why not?
Because there's only one way to be a member of the Church of Christ.
You can't be taught wrong and be baptized right. Somebody said, well, I was baptized for remission of sins. Did you know the Mormons baptized for remission of sins? You don't take a Mormon in on his baptism? So you need to be able to sit down with somebody and have got a good and honest heart. Here's the Bible heart up here, by the way. And point out to them that just one body, and you're baptized. Are we baptized into the church, by the way? Yes or no? Are we baptized into the church?
Yes.
How do you know?
1 Corinthians 12:13.
Says what?
By one spirit, you're baptized into one body.
You're baptized into one body, and the one body is?
The church.
That's how you prove it. Somebody said, well, if they come out of the Christian church, that's okay, because the only difference basically is that they have mechanical music. Is that the only difference? No. There's a ton of them. Is the Christian church a denomination just like the others are?
Sure.
Absolutely. And when I sit down and talk to people about this, that you need to obey the gospel, I don't have any problem with that. If you learn how to explain it to them. One more point. Had you been a Jew on Pentecost, would you have continued like they did? It does you no good to be baptized, correct? Unless
you continue on in the faith.
In Acts 2:42, these same people we've been talking about continued how?
Steadfastly.
Steadfast. And how many things? Apostles, doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Is that all the acts of worship? What's the next one? What did I leave out?
Giving of the means.
Hebrews 2:12. You taking notes on these guys? In the midst of the church, when I sing, I praise. How many scriptures tell us to sing in the New Testament? Who knows? Some of you guys on row number two, you know? Row number one.
There's three.
How many? Ten. You want to tell us what they are? No, don't. Ten of them. Matthew 26. Mark, huh?
Matthew 26:30.
Matthew 26:30, Mark 14:26, Acts 16:25, Romans 15:9, 1 Corinthians 14:15, Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, Hebrews 2:12, Hebrews 13:15, and James 5:13. You write all of them.
We're going to get your outline.
They're not my outline. Which one of those phrases in Acts 2 includes the giving?
Continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine.
That included the giving, that word? What word? I'll rephrase my question. What word in Acts 2:42 refers to giving? Who knows?
Fellowship.
Huh?
Fellowship.
Fellowship. How do you know that?
Offering. Free will.
Huh?
Free will.
No, that's not my question. Is that correct, Randy?
Yeah, he's correct. Fellowship.
Are you guys aware of the fact that the word fellowship in Acts 2:42 refers to the giving, the laying by in store, or not? You didn't know that? Well, what does it refer to if it's not the giving? Somebody want to handle that? I'll tell you how to do that real fast. My time's about up. In Philippians 1:5, Paul was thankful for the church at Philippi for the fellowship they had with him. Y'all jot that down. Paul, what are you talking about? Flip over to chapter 4:15-16. And identifies the fellowship as when they sit once and again to his necessity. The support, the money, the funds, call a fellowship. That's how you prove it. The only way you prove it. Get that down, Nicholas?
Yeah.
You got that down. Did you know that already?
Nope.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Do now, don't you? Okay. This is my great-grandson, by the way. Jared and Nicholas Edwards. Terry holding it in. In fact, their granddad and grandmothers were as well, Johnny Paul and Melba, my. What else? Got to continue. Any questions about anything I've said? Good time to answer questions, Bible class.
When you look at it, in Acts chapter 2, it says that the Lord doesn't add to the church, which was the universal church.
Universal, yes.
Paul would say to join himself to a church, but they didn't accept him at first.
A local
it's
church.
Not left up to the individual office, and I'm going to be a member of this church. It's left up to the local church to accept the fellowship.
Anything else? Yes, sir.
Earlier you said how many prophecies were fulfilled. You listed two, but there's also Jeremiah 31:31-34, where he says, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. And this is the fulfillment.
Beginning of the new covenant.
Okay. Yeah, this is the fulfillment of that.
Jeremiah 31:31-34.
Yeah.
Anything else? Thanks for being in the study. Thanks for your participation.